What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another fantastic episode of Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm one of your hosts, Jacob.
And I'm Eric.
Dude, you're What's not up, that man? Excited. Dude, what are you doing?
What?
You see how amped up and how hyped up I just came in? And what did you do?
Here, man. Hold up.
And
hold
I'm on. At, and I'm
let me
at.
Just, let me just gritty a little bit.
Dude, we, oh my gosh. Oh, man. You're not supposed to get out of your chair to show your enthusiasm.
Oh, my man. I'm sorry. I just
and
wasn't
did you
expecting
say you're,
that.
You're doing the griddle? Like pancakes? What is that?
Oh, man. Not everything's about food, bro.
Why not?
Oh, speaking of food, can we talk about that pizza for just
Holy
a moment?
Guacamole, dude. That picture with us sitting beside it did no justice. That thing was a monster pie.
I will say, I feel like I've said this to basically everyone that I've talked to about it, but I could easily, okay, give me a Domino's medium pizza and I could probably eat most of it. All right.
Yeah, same.
And I had one piece and I could not force myself to get a second piece. Like I was full. I was spent. I had to tap out. It blew me away.
Yeah. I ate a piece and a half and I was like, ooh. The really cool thing about that pizza, because part of me, when we went and we were like, you know, we're going to order the big pie and blah, 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 and everybody was all excited for it. And one part of my mind was like, I hope this is good. And the other part of me was like, this is just going to be a novelty thing. You know, eat it. Yeah. Worst case is we could walk somewhere, you know, near the hotel and get some food. That was good pizza.
Yeah,
on
it
top
was
of
good.
Being the size of, you know, Manhattan, that was good pizza.
For sure. I also I just want to add that for a moment there you were considering ordering another dish.
I was
before that pizza came out.
I was going to order some ads for everybody because it'd been a long day. I know I was hungry. Everybody at the table, we were all hungry. I was like, let's get some apps on the table, and you know, we'll get some jalapeno poppers and get this party started. But you know, talking with everybody, I was like, man, maybe we'll hold off. We had seven slices left. There were seven people who ate on that pizza, and there were seven slices left at the end of it. I don't know what Chun did with all the pieces, but it took us two 20-inch boxes to package those seven slices up. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, we will get more into our weekend in San Antonio. But we have two very special guests tonight. You want to bring them in?
All right, let's do it. So you guys have all seen her. She's our famous sideline reporter. It's time we give her some limelight. We give her, show her some love off the sidelines. Bring in Keturah.
Okay, okay. Good introduction. I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
And go ahead and bring Jordan in too.
Oh.
My wife heard the podcast and turned the lights off. She was jealous, you know.
She's so peanut butter and jealous. Well, shout out Christine for signing that legal document with Jordan. You know,
I'm so happy about it, guys.
You can leave now. Thanks. All right, now that she's done,
Bate, look what you did. Look what you did.
And this is why we can have grown-up conversations. And people blame me.
Yeah, I mean, technically, you know, technically, in your defense, that was your fault. So
what did I do?
All right. Jordan, we got a lot to talk with you about, but first and foremost, Keturah, every time we have a new guest on, we like to give them the opportunity to share their origin story. You are absolutely a superhero in your own world. So share your origin story about flag football. How did you get into flag football? How did you become a ref? Tell us everything, every detail. Don't leave anything out. We want to hear.
All right. So it started off with my dad, you.
That guy.
In the wrong box.
Yeah, that guy over there in the corner.
Other guy.
Not you guys. That guy over there.
This one right here.
Yep. He started this like fundraiser tournament called BroCS, and it was just all about giving back to the community. Like I think it was every month he would fundraise for a new family, and not only did he do like flag football, but he did like basketball and I think volleyball for a little bit. And what was the other sport? Like frisbee?
Ultimate frisbee.
Yeah, ultimate frisbee. Oh, and so
nice.
He looks like frisbee guy.
Yeah.
I was the only two times ultimate frisbee champ.
For where? Yeah. Like Colorado Parks and Rec?
But yeah, no, I just thought that was really cool. I mean, I definitely started off as like, I call it a civilian. What is it called? Somebody that watches games.
Spectator.
Civilian and spectator. They're the same thing. That's okay.
Yeah, pretty we get it.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, so I was a spectator. You know, I would watch like my cousin jump into games. I'd see like kids from my school, like random kids all the way from Greeley, like bunch of random kids, and like, but there was no girls games, you know, I didn't see that. And then going into high school, I was trying to get a team started at my high school, talking to my principal and stuff about it. She was going to get it moving, but then from Colorado, we moved to California, and in California, it just became like a sanctioned sport. So I joined that team. I tried out for quarterback. The coach really liked me. Like I convinced one of my stud friends to join, get off the couch and like actually do something with her life. So that was fun to see her like get active and stuff. It was like a lot of fun. I really liked that team, but we moved before like the season started to Ohio. And oh, no, wait, hold on. Let me back it up a little bit. In California, I was also playing in, like, women's leagues. So I played with, like, the Playas, and I played against, like, She Unit and some other teams. That's the only name I can think of. Y'all want to help me in?
Oh, okay, we're gonna name drop big names. Just some of these teams. That was nice though. That was nice.
Hey, she's still telling her story, Mr. B.I.G.
Flex them. No, I'm saying it was a flex them.
Players, okay, that was my family there.
That team is not around anymore. Go ahead.
Keep going.
Anyways, so yeah, I was playing with them, and so you know I felt pretty good about it. You know, I knew how to place and stuff, knew how to catch a ball, knew how to throw a ball, you know. And then we moved to Ohio, and I was like debating between like choosing like this program I was doing or doing flag football. I really just wanted to stay in this program for a girl, but I decided to do flag football, and that ended anyways. So I played flag football for my high school. I think we were 1-8.
Details.
It was fun. You know, I had a lot of fun. You know, I definitely carried me and like two other girls. Our quarterback, like she would be crashing out on this and stuff. Like it was bad, but love Leanne, you know, I had a lot of fun. And then I mean, my dad be making bank from Jacob, so I was like, you know what, let me get in on that, you know?
Wait a minute. So,
I was like, and man, I get to travel, like, okay, you know? So I've already watched flag football, I've played it, like, I know flag football, like, the back of my hand, so I was like, you know what, like, let me give this a shot. I took that test, and I, like, got 5 wrong out of, like, how many there was my first 7. Time. What?
Nothing, go ahead.
Okay. And so, yeah, you know, then I started reffing, like, at first, my first game, I was like, nah, like, I'm never doing this again. Like, I literally broke down and cried to my dad because, one, like, it's like you got to be professional about it. Like me, I got a smart mouth, so I want to talk back. But like these are also grown men. Like, what am I gonna do? You know, like so I'm thinking that I'm doing something wrong and that like I just didn't know what was going on. But one, it was also in Nashville. It was freezing.
That was your first time ever?
No, but the first time that I remember.
Okay.
We're just gonna stick with that.
So we really threw you to the fire immediately. Good Lord. Yeah. Okay, keep going.
But yeah, so I mean, I just tried again. My dad was like, well, you know, just try it again. And so I gave it another shot. And then like, I got to experience reffing with like other women, which was really cool. I saw how like, serious they took it. And like, I started to enjoy it because I started getting it down. And then I started reffing like a 2-man crew and started building my confidence in it, started like being able to like, I mean, I've always been able to ignore men pretty well, but like I really just started like just drowning them out. I would just smile and like, okay, you know. But I definitely had some incidents with women where something came out of my mouth that shouldn't have, but I'm being better at it, you know. Like, why are you shaking your head, Jordan?
Do better. That's just terrible, okay? Mm-hmm. Always be professional. That's despicable.
Right. That's rich coming from you.
Yeah.
That's why I said it to y'all. Yeah, that's why I said it. Bro, hey, don't feel bad, dude. I had the same disease, okay? If there's a chance, if there's a chance for a smart comment, I mean, we're both here. Might as well take it.
I'm dead. But yeah, so, and then, man, San Antonio was a blast just because, like, I went into it feeling like a professional for real. Like, I was actually confident in my little ref suit. Like, last time I was like, nah, I'm not wearing this hat. Like, ooh, you know, but this time, you know, I'm tightening my belt up, put my little hat on all proud, even told my dad, where's your hat? Like, I was all excited and I had a really good time with, like, Avery and Brian. I had a really good crew this weekend. You know, we knocked out almost like 30 games. Like, it was a lot of fun. So yeah, that's my story. The end.
Awesome.
Also, Dad, you gotta, I got 15 minutes on my phone, so you gotta like fix that, please.
Don't worry, we're gonna kick you off the show before then. Don't worry.
Savage, man.
Dang. Free control, make them, they have feelings.
Hashtag
no, well, Katura, thank you so much for sharing all that. And I think you have a very unique perspective. Just like you said, you have experienced every aspect of flag football, and you probably have more years in the game than a lot of other people do, whether it's officials or players. So, between San Antonio and Vegas, which one did you like more, and what format did you like the most?
I think I had more fun like reffing wise in Vegas, just because like I like reffing like men's rec, because like they're trash. No, like.
But, couldn't agree more, bro. You know, way like to go.
They go out and still have fun, you know. Like I respect their game, and they like when I make calls on both sides, they respect me for it, you know. Like, I chatted up with them and stuff. I had a good time.
Hey, just real fast, boss. Never put me and her on a field together. Just know that's going to be – it would be the most fun I know I would ever have.
I'd have to park, sit right there with you guys.
You know, that would be incredible. That would be my favorite and probably last tournament ever. So, no, hey, in the best of ways, though. In the best of ways. It would not be a you and me problem. It would be a them problem, bro.
No.
Yes, ma'am.
I totally
yes, ma'am.
All right. So far in your journey of officiating, who outside of this group right here that's talking, who's somebody who you consider your most influential person?
in general in life?
Oh, in officiating.
Oh, Avery, for sure. She, like, definitely, like, working one-on-one with her, I learned a lot. Like, I don't really like taking advice because, like, I think I'm good at everything, you know? When I pick up something, I'm like, you know, just, like, I feel cocky about it, but, like, I think we, like, learned how to communicate with each other where I didn't feel, like, offended when she was correcting me on something. Like, I definitely felt like she was teaching me, and I definitely learned a lot from her. Yeah, but no, like, she's taught me so much, and I truly love her as a person, and I'm so glad that I met her.
What would you say so far is your least favorite thing about officiating?
The, like, disrespect, honestly. Like, as soon as I put that uniform on, like, I'm not going to pick up no fine guys at the tournaments anymore. Like, they're not going to like me, you know?
You're not allowed to do it anyway, just so we're clear.
Yeah, you're not 30 yet. Can't have any fine guys.
Yeah. No one that we've ever met at a flag football field is good enough for you, ever.
Okay. Well, there's 16 you. Chill. Okay.
That makes it worse. I've met every 16-year-old. No. No. Heck no.
You met every single one of them?
Every single one of them, okay? Mainly because I met me and all my friends at 16, and we were all the same. It only got worse.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, no, I'm good.
that's probably one.
Gotcha. So you've been doing a lot of the sideline reporting for Clocks Running. You got to talk to some pretty cool people. What would you say so far has been your favorite interview?
Hoosh, definitely. I love Hoosh as a player. Yeah, okay. I got mad respect for his game.
All right.
I heard that he's actually better than Patrick Mahomes.
I completely agree with that. I put money on him.
Kansas City needs to realize.
Oh, man. All right. Well, Jacob, you have any other questions for Katura?
I don't. That's all I've got. Katura, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
you. Everything you do for Clocks Running.
You make
the tournament so fun. You make the clips so fun. You are so fun. You're becoming a great official. I don't care what Dad says.
Appreciate you, Katura. Thanks for joining us. And go hang out with your brother and sister. Love you.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Later.
All right. The logo, man. What's up? What's new, bro?
What's up, brother?
What's going on with you?
Man, nothing. Honestly, just life in general. You know, trying to weed the ins and outs of adulthood, parenting. Being a husband, it's definitely unique.
Yes, sir. And recently you've been doing a little youth officiating, right? Is that
The
most recent?
Yeah. There's a local league here in North Carolina from out of the Wisconsin State.
Sorry. Excuse me, Jacob.
What? I'm trying to find the best flavor of smack and sunflower.
I'm over here trying to have a conversation. And you're
right. Nice. Crinkle. Yeah, bro. What the crap?
I can't even mute. I can't cut the camera. I can't do nothing.
Yeah. Hey, mute your mic, weirdo.
I can't. That's what I'm saying.
Get better.
I'm going to open them up. We're going OG tonight. Go ahead, ask him about the youth league in North Carolina that we're about to do 64 games for on Saturday.
No, now he's going to fill his mouth with a bunch of nuts. So
I'm going to say, bro, hey, chew it slow. Let me watch it.
Okay, so you guys got 64 games on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. It's three fields, 11 games each. It is our blocks. It is two 20-minute halves, 5-minute half times. So, you know, it's definitely going to be a unique day. It's NFL flag rules, but it's for the kids. So, you know, anytime that we have a chance to try to give back to the community in any kind of capacity, we definitely try to have fun, you know, and we're out there to have fun. We let these kids play. We try to guide them and coach them in the process. You know, we only kind of try to restrict them if need be. Other than that, man, it really is about the smiles and them and the memories. You know, you want them to remember this stuff years down the road so they can either try to you know, go to the next level, you know, become a tackle football player, you know, whatever their path may lead.
Yeah. I personally hate officiating youth flag football, but, you know, when it's needed, I will do it. It's just it's slower than seven screen, in my opinion. There's just no action.
Hold on. You think they're slower than sevens? No way, man.
I don't know. I'm gonna end on this one, bro. That the kids' games is very slow.
Especially when they're 20 minute halves. Like that's an eternity.
It's been, you know, in your head, it's been 10 minutes. You look at your clock, it's been 3 minutes, 32 seconds. At that point, bro. Yeah. You know, both of you guys win ball game. All right, yeah. double win. Yes, it's brutal.
Yeah,
brutal.
How are the parents in good old North Carolina? Any big outbursts or anything like that in this league?
Not in this league. Knock on wood. This league here. Well, in my experience, let me say, me personally. That now, like AAU parents and stuff like that, I see videos posted all the time. A buddy of mine here in Asheboro runs a kids tackle league, and the videos that he get posted from his experience, I personally think they're hysterical, and it also lets me know why I'm never going to be a coach or a ref in this area for those style teams. Those parents want to live their glory days through their kids. You know, as a parent, bro, you sucked. We get it. Your kid is also going to suck. Let it go. Let it go. You know, just yeah. It's not the NFL. This kid is in, you know, third grade. Let him have fun. Who cares? If they get blown out and your kid's smiling, that's what matters. But, you know, again, parents want to ruin the good times because they're upset with their life. So.
I feel like the moment a kid comes on the field with three different armbands on and, you know, overly excessive drip and he's got, like, the spiked gel hair going on, I feel like that kid is having zero fun.
Oh, he's making business decisions, man.
I like honestly, and it's definitely, I guess, you know, our generation, but when that kid – gets the ball thrown to him and he's wide open and he drops it. I want to give him a round of applause and be like, bro, thank you for this opportunity. I love that I got to watch. You thought you were going to be Odell Beckham Jr. and you're out here just being fumble rooski. Way to go, bro.
I mean, technically he was being Odell Beckham Jr.
Who is that kid? Have you seen him that they call him like Baby Gronk or something like that?
Yeah, he was at Worlds 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But he's not good, right?
Yeah, he is.
He is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely better than normal.
Give him the nickname because he got sweet hair.
I don't know. I just – because any videos I've seen, he's just like dancing in front of a Corvette and like – I've never actually seen him play football. So. Hmm.
No,
he's legit.
I about to say, you're seeing like videos of now. If you go back in the beginning when like before he got the nickname and him becoming the nickname, those actually videos are pretty nice.
Yeah, he's a possession guy.
Yeah.
Or a kid.
I got you. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, cool. And Jordan, what else you got going on in the near future? I know you're bailing on us for East Coast Nationals, but what do you got coming up next?
That hurt. Just so we're clear, I'm not bailing. I'm choosing to be a parent and not get stabbed by my wife. My kid's birthday is the same day as East Coast Nationals. But no, other than that, we do have a brunch event, a brunch event at the bar that my wife owns on the 8th as well, right there. So
we give Leo's a shout out.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yes, sir. So, so we have the brunch the 8th. We have my kids' birthday party on the 7th. That's the only reason I won't be there. We have Gatlinburg coming up, though. I'm very excited for that. I get to see all of you guys. We get to have some fun, and we get to train some people. So I'm definitely intrigued to see the layout and, you know, where they're at and what all we get to bring to the table in positive aspects.
Sounds like a perfect opportunity for Jordan and Couture to work together. Actually, in Gatlinburg.
Yeah, I don't have to pick them out of a USA event.
Hey, that is true. Hey, that's the weekend we could work together. That is true. If you put us together at USA, no holds bar, just so we're clear. And then I have to feel bad because one of these players gets in our face after cross field and headbutt somebody, you know? It'd be terrible.
Meanwhile, it was a seven-year-old.
Hey, I'm with her, bro. Hey,
he was tall for his age, you know?
Yeah.
And then finally on the horizon is the Camel City Draft. How you feeling about that this year, Jordan?
Oh, man. First of all, that's probably one of the most fun events that we have all year long. I get to love everybody equally, you know? So at that point, it's not team versus team. I don't like this guy more than this guy. You know, so there's only one person in Camel City that I hate. There is definitely a one guy that's a runner up. Other than that, you know, I mean, that's a lot of people for me to only hate two of y'all. And that's fantastic. I will be giving out my airplane bottles of whiskey like normal. You score a touchdown. You come see me. Okay. I got a fanny pack. And it is full of airplane bottles. So, you know, score a touchdown, bro. Nothing better than to celebrate in the back of the end zone other than chugging a shot. So,
is there Jacob, can you think of some better ways to celebrate a touchdown?
You know, high five your teammates.
What year is this, bro? That's boring. What's next?
Oh, that's great. Well, man, Jordan, I appreciate you coming on. Yes, sir. You know, it's always good to see you. We got you on stickers now. You know, that image, everybody knows it, bro. And you know, people are just excited to be able to rock that logo, bro. So we appreciate you just being passionate as an official and continuing to be, as a person. Please, bro, plug the bar. Give a shout out. We want to give you that opportunity before you head out.
Absolutely. Shout out Leo's Whiskey Bar, Ashburn, North Carolina. If y'all are ever in the area, please come by. If you mention this podcast or you let me know that our logo is sexy, we do pour heavy-handed just for you.
Notice how he said you didn't get a drink on him. He'll just give you a heavy shot.
Oh, man. There we go. Well, we appreciate you, Jordan, man. We'll see you soon.
All right, fellas.
Later.
Later. Oh, man. Can you imagine, like, putting Jordan and Katura on – like five non-contact men, bro,
and just with YTG and freaks, and let them just hilarious.
Yeah, like what happens first? A fight breaks out, or someone gets thrown out of the game? Like what
definitely.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fun for sure. Mm. Totally a situation where they would both need to be mic'd up. Like,
oh, absolutely. It'd be hilarious.
No, it's been really cool to just from a distance. I know I've worked some games with Katura, but which has been fun, but I like to give her a break from having to hear my voice all the time like she does 24/7. So it's been cool just being able to walk by and see her. Like, she's locked in, she's focused, She's professional. She's hustling up and down the field. Yep. You know, she definitely is taking it serious. This is not just a novelty, you know, situation or anything like that. So it's cool to see for sure.
Yeah, you definitely have this is a proud notch to put on your tool belt. You know, you can be a proud dad here for a moment. She's kicking butt and taking names, and she's doing all the right things, and it's really cool because I think right now we have her. I think we have two right now. I'm trying to think. There might be another, but we have a couple under 18 officials that are doing better. They're, you know, I have a tier system in my mind personally, and both of them are, you know, they're in the top tier of what we're doing, you know, doing all the right things, asking all the right questions, wanting to be better. So, you know, you can't do it better than that.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Definitely a problem for you.
Yeah, no, for sure. So let's talk a little bit more about San Antonio. I want to first and foremost speak from, you know, my official's perspective, and then,
absolutely,
you know, I want to hear from you as the head honcho director, in all of it. So, I guess my understanding is that it probably wasn't as hot as it was last year. Thankfully I had a fan on my neck, which was like a game changer, especially in the middle. It gave me about 4 hours of relief. There was a moment where I was just like drenching sweat, and I was like, oh, I got that fan. I put it on, and like the sweat just stopped. So I was like, oh, this is actually this is clutch right here. So we had I want to say something that stood out to me. There were three last mans that we as a crew called, one on Saturday, two on Sunday. And, the thing that you always say, Jacob, is with the last man, it's very important. Whole crew comes together. They acknowledge, like, there was not another defender. But it was pretty cut and dry. I mean, basically, in all three situations, it was a deep ball to a receiver, and one defender had a chance, and they tackled the receiver. So, pretty cut and dry. It was easy for us to come together as a crew real quick and be like, where are we at? Last man.
Yeah.
But I would say that's probably – I haven't had a last man that many times in one tournament. I was good as far as unsportsmanlikes went, until Dean over the weekend messaged the group chat and was like, hey bro, how many unsportsmanlikes you have?
And all of a sudden,
So I will say the most came from Four's amateur rec, and I think in that scenario it was just Texas teams that were very familiar with each other. And it's so funny because when two captains walk up to the coin toss and they assure me that it's going to be a fun game because they play together all the time, that's when I know it's not going to be. And as soon as things pop off, the language, the, you know, all that. So I think the biggest thing, and something that I communicated, because it happened in like the semifinals, that I communicated with the teams going into the finals, was one of the biggest things that I don't ever want to see is somebody on the sideline who's not in the field yelling at a player that's on the field. And when that interaction goes back and forth, 9 times out of 10, that's going to draw an unsportsmanlike flag. Do you agree with that, Jacob?
Yeah, I mean, depends on what we're talking about. If we're talking football, we're talking junk, I don't care. Once it gets outside of that, that's where I draw the parameter. I don't care if you're on the field, off the field, who you are. You know, that's when you're going to call the unsportsmanlike. Like, for me, you know, I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to let you have fun until you cross that line. And once that line's crossed, then I'm going to shut it down.
Yeah. And if, you know, it can be challenging, and I think there's a lot of, like, fluidity to it, gray area, where some words, it's really in the tone. Sure. You know, and so you have to you really got to, like, you know, put, you know, turn your hearing aid up a little bit, like, really, you know, trying to.
Grandpa, tell me more about it.
Starting to hone in on, like, okay, what are they saying, but where's their tone at, you know, in this? Is it really, like, is it joking, or is it becoming where it's just escalating, and it's going to, you know, get out of hand? But mm-hmm. I do feel like the one game, I threw it unsportsmanlike. It's funny because my back was to a sideline, and I threw it unsportsmanlike on a player for what he was yelling at the opposing team. And then at the same time, another member of the crew was throwing a flag on someone on the sideline. Nice. So it was good timing. Gave us offsetting penalties, you know, unsportsmanlike. And from there, both teams, they took it down a notch, and we had a, you know, we had a really good game. The semifinal game, finals, the championship for that was a good game as well. Definitely came down to, you know, like it always does in flag football, is who knows how to manage the clock better. Mm-hmm. That is such a challenge for flag football. The other fun thing that came up, and I just, you know, just want to talk to you, you know, about this scenario, and we can discuss it a little bit. So basically what happened is it was a co-ed game. Offense is in the bunch formation. The rusher is coming from the right side. They have their lane on the outside of the bunch. There is an impeding that is happening, but at the same time, like, the impede happens and the rusher gives a little chicken wing to the receiver that's impeding to make, you know, to kind of, highlight that impede or whatever. So basically what ended up happening is two flags came out. I was calling illegal contact on the defense, and the other guy on the crew was calling impeding. So we had, you know, two by ball penalties, offsetting. So that brought on a challenge initially. And I had a conversation with the captain before. He was like, yeah, we're going to challenge this. I explained to him. I said, why don't you call timeout? 30 seconds. You and me can talk through this. We discussed it. And he said, yeah, you're right. Two live ball penalties makes sense. I've just never heard them both called at the same time. I said, cool. You know, no biggie. So then let's move forward. 10 seconds later, the same guy that wanted to challenge that then called a timeout. So that was their second timeout. That was their last timeout. And then 15 seconds after that, he called a third timeout.
Rolling it two and fives co-ed.
Yeah, so that, you know, that gave a little unsportsmanlike, and he had a good laugh about it. And I think in general the team was pretty good. Sometimes teams just have a lot of questions, and they want, you know, they're trying to. I don't necessarily think they're trying to manipulate, but they're just trying to, like, okay, what can we do here? What is this? What is an official going to let us get away with? Kind of thing. So the other thing that they brought up that brought some big controversy, they didn't challenge or anything, but after the game, I showed it to them in the rules, is sleeper routes.
Is it sleeper routes?
Yeah. Have you heard, that term before?
Okay.
So essentially at the last second before the ball is snapped, a player sneaks onto the field.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like an illegal. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Sleep so, out. Yeah.
Who came up with you? You just made that up.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
So anyway, I was just explaining to them that even though there aren't numbers on the field, you do have to, you got to go into the middle of the field, and then you can go
10 yards. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So that was confusing to them, but they obliged. And then after the game, I showed them, you know, in the rule book, where it was. So so that was kind of the, you know, whatever, the issues that came up. But all in all, it was a good tournament. I appreciated the teams that were out there, the officials that I had. You know, I think we had a great crew. The other thing that comes up anytime you're in San Antonio, Texas area is the little tiny flags that we have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Oh, major headache and such a challenge because there are definitely the 8-man ones that are very obvious to see. But I think in general, probably people don't want to buy another set of flags, so they cut their own flags. And so, I mean, there was one team that we lined up and we found five different sizes of flags, you know, on one sideline. So it just kind of kept getting, you know, smaller and smaller. But I would say that was definitely that was something across the board. Probably every crew had to deal with, you know, you guys had to deal with. But I want to turn it over to you and just kind of hear your perspective on things.
No, man, I thought it was overall, you know, I spent the majority of the time with the adults. It was overall it was a flawless tournament in my mind. You take out the stupidity of people not filling out rosters, and, you know, for the most part, it was a pretty seamless event. You know, we had a lot of fun. We were able to work through any issues, any concerns. I think the biggest issue of the weekend was the flags, like we talked about. And it's not even that they're cutting them too. It's, you know, they'll take a normal set and they'll run them through the creases on the poppers twice. So they're up, you know, they're tight and they'll go, oh, well, if I just loosen it, it's like, you shouldn't have to even think about that. It should be loose. It was a good time. I had a lot of fun. We had some really great crews this weekend. We had a lot of officials this weekend, which, you know, something that's kind of, the culture's changed a bit. We used USA flag FFWCT used to be very heavy with Dallas representation of officials. And I think, you know, time changes, peaks and valleys. People move on and do different things. And, you know, I think we've got a different group in there now, but you know, the group we had was phenomenal, you know, I wouldn't have asked for a better group, you know. We had a pretty dang good crew. So, I'll say that. And like I said, the last thing just, you know, of course is to end the night with roster checks. You know, I'm never a fan of a roster check. I don't believe in it. I do understand it's in the rules, and I accept why it's in the rules, and I'm fine with that. But people use roster checks as a way to not play and to, you know, just to continue on that way. And I'm not a fan of that, but that's just my opinion. It's not the opinion of anybody else or USA flag or anything like that. But ultimately, fill out your roster and have your ID on you. It's so simple. I've never been able to comprehend. When I travel, I have two forms of ID available to me. That way, if something happens to my primary, I have a secondary so I can get home. I always have a way home. But for folks to just not have their ID, or, you know, oh, I left it in the car, or I did this, or I did that, and they don't have anything. Like, it's absolutely bananas to me.
Yeah.
And that's how, you know, it ended Sunday night. Was over, you know, a dude wouldn't get his ID. Whether he actually had it or not, or whether he was the person or not, that's a different story. But, it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I know that, you know, I do like to hear everyone's reasoning behind, like, why they think roster checks are, you know, make sense, why they don't. I do think that maybe there's scenarios that it makes sense. Also scenarios where it's just like, I don't think anyone involved is going to feel good about it. You know, I know we've talked about in the past where there was like, you know, a year in Vegas where it was like the last few seconds of the game kind of situation. You know, that scenario to me is like, at this point, you've played the game, you know, I feel like in a roster check scenario, if your goal is to have them play a snap and they play the snap right away at the start of the game, then just do the roster check then.
Yep.
You know, get it out of the way. That it's 0-0. Not, you know, that, you know, sure enough, I do feel like there are scenarios where you know, teams travel from a long distance and they brought the whatever 7 players they have, And here they are facing a sideline full of, you know, say we're in Texas and it's, you know, there is 15 players on that sideline and they're all wearing different jerseys and all this stuff. You know, it can seem a little unfair in that situation where it's like, okay, well, you know, is it worth a roster check? Hey, you only get one chance. So if you don't know who those players are, you know, so, but yeah, I mean, I think that, all in all, maybe the back-to-back roster checks it probably doesn't sit right.
Well, I think that's a lot of it. I think is just how quick it progressed, you know, between the first game and then the second game where it ended. But it is what it is. I'll give that team credit, you know, in the second one, as soon as they saw the person play, they called it.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, they did what they were supposed to. The first game, I think I only had like 5 minutes left in it. I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but exactly. It is what it is. I mean, you do that and it is what it is.
Yeah. So, any other, challenges or funky kind of rules that you want to talk about from San Antonio or?
There really wasn't a lot, man. It was pretty cut and dry. You know, I think every, you know, youth had some adjustments in their rules to kind of prep these kids to be ready to play in the adult divisions. You know, I'm actually kind of excited with, and shout out to Cassie for kind of implementing these rules where, you know, now, you know, in youth, it's a 5 second count. It's not the seven. You know, they, starting in 7U or 6U, seven, I think it's 7U. You know, they're rushing now, you know, it's, these kids are learning their ABCs and how to sack the quarterback. So, you know, they're making big moves. And I think that's for the betterment of the game. It's getting the kids prepared early and it's having them do the right thing from the very beginning. But yeah, overall there wasn't anything too off the wall. I think the only thing off the wall was that 42-inch pizza that we, you know, tried to eat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and it, you know, San Antonio, that's my second time there, but the last time around I didn't go sightseeing at all. So going to the Riverwalk and then also like on the way out of town, stopping at the Alamo. That, you know, that stuff was cool to experience. So I want us to move into another topic. It is definitely a hot topic right now, in the world of flag football. Don't worry, it doesn't have to do with Southern California. This time around, I know this is usually when I bring.
This is where we play usually all of the leagues in California and Colorado and all the other places.
No, this has implications on a global scale. Okay, so I want to read the quote that has now basically been recycled because now with the news from the NFL that. You know, now one player from every team can represent in the Olympics, and then also international players can, you know, represent other countries. But so, you know, Hoosh was there this weekend. He was officiating. So I want to read the full quote. I'm not going to clip it out. And then I have a few other quotes from kind of, you know, players and NFL players, ex-players that have come up in the last few days. So this is what Hoosh said. At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's the best right now in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him. So, Jacob, what are your thoughts initially just hearing that quote? What do you? How do you feel about that?
That's a very fair statement. How often is Patrick Mahomes playing competitive flag football? He's not. What is Hoosh doing? Playing competitive flag football every day. He hit the nail on the head. Patrick Mahomes is in the NFL. He's at the top of his game. He's the best at his game for the things that he listed, his accuracy, his arm strength, things like that. A quarterback in the National Football League has to have. It makes perfect sense. Patrick Mahomes, the only thing he's thought about flag football is, might be fun, and rolled over and went back to sleep. That's it. why wouldn't Hoosh have a higher IQ right now than that? The way the media and the way everybody else is twisting this up, they are twisting, turning, slicing, dicing, doing everything they can to make this seem like he just said that he's a better football player than Patrick Mahomes, and that is so far from the truth of what the actual statement was. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've heard clips from Cam Newton, his podcast, and then also the Kelce brothers on their podcast talking about it. I don't know if you have any other quotes that you heard, but you know, Cam did bring up a point. He just said, look, when you mention somebody's name, that it's bold to do that. And so you just got to realize that that is going to, you know, bring attention. Cam Newton said something as far as when you don't fear getting your block knocked off, you can play extremely bold. So to him, Cam Newton was talking about how he can be shifty. He can move around like this. He can do all this stuff because he has no fear of getting injured. Do you agree, disagree? How do you feel about that, Dave?
Again, they're centering on a miss. They're taking the quote out of context. Again, if you listen to the way Cam Newton's talking, he's saying that Hoosh is saying that he's a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. And guess what? If that's what was actually said, I'd be right there beside Cam Newton looking at Hoosh like he's got three eyeballs. Okay. But that's not what was said. So he's talking about and referencing to something that's not even relevant. You know, his whole argument is irrelevant because it's based off of a quote that was clipped and taken out of context.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, Cam Newton goes on to talk about the fact that, like, hey, none of us even want to see Patrick Mahomes play flag football, but we do want to see Kyler Murray. We do want to see Lamar Jackson, talking about that. Do you think Patrick Mahomes is even the best option as a quarterback to transition to flag football?
No. Lamar Jackson makes the most sense to me. Lamar Jackson has also said, he's been quoted, I'm going to leave that for those guys. He's not going to play. That could change in 2.5 years, 3 years, how far away we are. That could very well change. Jaden Daniels makes a lot of sense to me. Kyler Murray might make sense. He's not – of the pool of athletes we get to choose from, he's not the one I would pick.
Yeah, plus he's going to go play for South Korea.
They're not going to be in. I think it was like NFL on Fox or one of the broadcast teams did a really cool thing, and they pulled out all the countries a lot of these athletes could go play for. Number one, Canada would be stacked. Yeah. I can't remember exactly. There was a few NFL players they put on there. I was like, oh man, like Amon St. Brown would play for Germany. But they were naming like Nigeria. They were naming, I think Egypt got named. In case you didn't know, Egypt,
Jamaica.
They're naming a lot of these different countries that really aren't in the conversation to be a part of the Olympics. A lot of people are failing to realize they're only taking six teams. For the men's side and six teams for the women's. So there's a lot of countries that are going to get left out this first go around. It's kind of disappointing. It's kind of frustrating, but I also get this is a very much of a trial run to see if this works or not.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the other, kind of aspect of this that I want to bring up, I know I've joked around about the fact that like, hey, back in 98, George Cascudo was playing Brett Favre, and hey, the pros won in that scenario. Now that was that was a lifetime ago. But the other scenario that people bring up a lot is they're like, hey, Hoosh beat pro athletes in the AFFL, but Cam Newton, he talked about the players that were in this. I mean, Michael Johnson was not even a football player. He was a track star. And the other guys that were on that team, they were past their prime. They were not, you know, we're talking about a different scenario here. We're talking about current NFL players. So do you think it's fair to continue to talk about these past scenarios where it's been pros versus Joes kind of thing?
It's hit or miss. I think look at it like this. George lost to Brett Favre. Hoosh beat Seneca Wallace. Wallace, while he was a quarterback for the Seahawks, I think he played for a couple other teams. Seneca Wallace was a guy who would go out on kickoff and kick return and punt return as a gunner. He was doing everything he can just to get on the field. He wasn't trying to play quarterback. I think there is a talent level to it. Jason Avant played for that AFFL team. I'm trying to think who else. Justin Forsett. There was a few guys that were pretty notable that in their prime were decent players. Nate Robinson was on one of the other pro teams lost. But I mean, trying to just say you're just going to throw a group of pros and have them play, you know, the national team that's currently there, I don't think that's quite right. I don't think that will – I think in a three-game series, game one's going to go to the USA guys or the national team. Game two is going to go to the NFL, and game three is going to really come down to how much did the NFL learn. But I don't think that's the right way to do it either. You know, there's somebody sitting in a lab. I say lab. Pat and George are sitting in a lab right now figuring out how to manipulate and make the best of both worlds. You know, I don't think they intentionally would leave anybody out, but they might also get directives that they have to, you know, go with, you know, X, Y, and Z. So
yeah, and that, you know, that leads me into kind of what the Kelce brothers are talking about. Now, I don't regularly listen to that podcast by any means, but it's funny because Travis was kind of making a joke of the whole thing, and he was just like, "Whatever, bro. These guys are, you know, they're not gonna come on. Like, all it takes is Lamar sending Tyreek on a go route, and you know that. How are they not going to score in that scenario?"
It's my second favorite football podcast aside from Clocks Running. I think he doesn't take much serious anyways. So I think that's okay. You know, I don't think that's something to really stress over. But he does make a point. Yeah. Who's going to cover Tyreek?
Yeah, and then the other thing that Jason was talking about, you know, just like you were saying with Pat and George, he said, okay, have a couple coaches that are very knowledgeable in flag football put together an NFL team, you know, NFL players team, and then go against the national team and see, you know, see how they fare. And his statement was, you know, I do agree if these guys are the best, they should represent USA, but I feel really confident that they're not the best.
Okay, so let's take the men's 3-on-3 basketball team. They don't have pro players. You know, Kyrie Irving, LeBron, and Steph Curry don't get done with the regular five-on-five basketball and say, all right, let's go play some 3-on-3 real quick. You know, that's left up to, you know, amateurs. I think they might be professionals in their own stance, but or their own right. But yeah, it's not the NBA guys that go and do that. Yeah. So it's something to keep in mind. You know, I think that opportunity is there for if the NFL is not going to let them play or they're not going to have the opportunity. We absolutely have the best solution.
Yeah, I mean, and I do think that the 3-on-3, though, they've kind of prevented professionals playing by their requirements are of international play. Mm-hmm.
Many events they have to go to.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that you know, that's different. I mean, I think across the board, you know, I've talked a lot about, you know, basketball and how that looked, always looked. But I mean, just looking across the board at Olympic sports, I mean, you know, you think about, for example, wrestling trials. I mean, you know, every weight class, only one person from the United States is going to represent that weight class. And they are in a tournament to be able to, you know, beat that. So they might have to beat, you know, six or seven other wrestlers at their weight class just to earn their spot on the Olympic team for wrestling. Same thing with boxing. Same, you know, look at the gymnastics teams. I mean, some of those gymnastics stars, they only compete in one event because they're not the best at their event, you know, to represent their country. So, right. I mean, the Olympics it's no joke when it comes down to it. And the fact that we're not even talking about 18, we're not talking about 12, it's only going to be 10 players on that roster.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a lot of two-way players. So let me ask you this. So Jason Kelsey brought the fact of having somebody from the flag world coach the NFL players up, you know, to play against the U.S. national team. Would that person be considered a sellout? Or would they be benefiting the sport?
I feel like whatever benefited the sport is already, like, you know, like the benefit of the sport has already happened. It's like the ball is now rolling. There's nothing going to stop it. It's going to be in the Olympics. Now it's up to who's next. Like, because truly, just like you said, it's a trial run. Mm-hmm. So I think that has to play a role in this, is that whether you look at the United States, the NFL, you know, IFAF, they want this to be in the Olympics. So putting people that are going to sell tickets and make this a marquee sport in that Olympic event is going to be NFL players. I feel like if the coach has a decision and they choose, and at the end of the day, they're like, hey, these are the 10 players that we picked and they all ended up being NFL players. Yeah, they might get some, you know, people saying, hey man, you played with us. You coached us. How are you gonna be a sellout, this or that? But mm-hmm. I feel like there's gonna be so much behind the scenes that we will not know about.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and you know, I think we both kind of share the same sentiment as far as this is what we want to see happen, but we have to take a step back and look at what's realistic. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's NFL, it doesn't matter if it's Olympics, whatever it is, sports need to make money. And the way they make the most money is selling tickets. And so, I might watch water polo and ping pong in the middle of the night and all. Just because I love watching Olympic sports, but I'm not the majority of who sells those tickets are going to be so. I mean, LA, you know, they've already picked out where it's going to be. Those seats are going to go for so much money.
Yeah, guess I can't wait for us to figure out how to get there.
Yeah, I mean, like you know, but guess who's going to be buying those front row seats, and they're going to want. These famous people are not going to want no names there. They're going to want NFL players.
Yep.
So I think it'll come down to that. As far as a coach being a sellout, I think a coach in any organization, they know their role. So unless they are part owner, like, you know, or GM, you know, like Bill Belichick was, and he had such a, you know, he could decide who they were drafting, and then he could decide all those things. If they are simply a coach, they're going to have to fall in line to keep their job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But
that's not what
do you think? So. Yeah, you did. You said if they're going to be a sellout.
I said if for somebody to go to the NFL players to try to help them beat the national team, would you consider them a sellout?
Oh, okay. Playing against the national
team. I just love it when you listen to me, man. It's really great.
Well, you know, it's just that I hear your voice so often that it just kind of tune you out. Okay, so they have a decision. You're saying this coach has a decision? Coach, yeah, NFL players?
They're trying to They're trying to get somebody to help the NFL players coach them up to play the national team to determine whether it's going to be the NFL or the national team that plays.
Yeah. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people on social media that will no name mention that these coaches are sellouts. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know, they won't tag them. You know, they'll you know, make memes about it and stuff like that. But yeah. As far as, you know, I don't know. If you got an opportunity, like, why would you turn that down?
Yeah, there's no way you turn that down. I don't think it's going to sell out at all. I think it's helping. At the end of the day, it's helping the game grow because my hope is whoever they bring in from the NFL is going to take it somewhat seriously. You know, there is an understanding. You know, Cam Newton in his podcast this past week, he talked about, you know, the U.S. team playing Austria. And, yeah. You know, he did his spiel on it or whatever. But, you know, part of that is, you know, you get in a game like that and you start jumping up, you know, on the scoreboard, people stop. Yeah. They take the foot off the gas. And I think people don't realize that's more disrespectful than beating somebody 80 to nothing.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I'd rather a team beat the brakes off me, but keep going. Don't stop. Don't slow down. Don't toy with me because you feel like you can. That's, you know. So I hope it's people who will take it serious and will do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. What was the other the other thing comparison he had was that you know, flag football players are like N1 basketball players.
I think that top hat was a little too tight.
Yeah, that was a little rough. But you know, all interesting points that he brought up. You're right. You know, he had his take on them playing Austria, and then, you know, the Kelce brothers. You know, I just think that their philosophy as far as you know, the NFL having a lot of speed. I would say that if it comes down to it, where it's like, okay, there's the initial trials has 60 players, and 32 of them are NFL players. And then 28 of them are, you know, flag, you know, predominantly flag players. If they get compared in the 40 and vert and, you know, side of the NFL players, the majority of them are going to beat all of those flag players in those kind of things.
They should.
They should, right? So this is where ego becomes involved. Are these NFL players really going to – are they going to be okay showing up to tryouts and losing to people that do not get paid to play football?
Oh, no way.
So they're going to be training. They're going to prepare for it. Hey, if this is what they have to do. Now there might be also some players that are like, nope, I want a spot. I'm the LeBron James of the NFL. I'm walking in and I'm taking a spot. So just you can try out for 9 spots because I'm taking the first spot.
Right.
Like, I mean, I just think that, you know, and it takes that, right? It takes that arrogance and that ego to play a professional sport. You have to think you're the best no matter who you're playing, no matter who you're going against. And so, yeah, there might be, you know, some of these flag football players might be somewhat at that level, but NFL is a whole other level.
Yeah.
So
I think the big thing you'll see, they might go and recruit 3 wide receivers first thing, say all for him. It's going to be you guys. You guys are going to make the team. And they have to come in, then they have to say, okay, you know, now we go through the trials of the rest of the people. And maybe that helps them, you know, thin the herd down to, you know, they don't have to bring in 60 people. You know, they don't even have to bring in 32 because let's say the, you know, the LA Chargers decide to put a left tackle up for the Olympics. Obviously that person's not getting picked. So, yeah. You know, you work through some of that stuff. Maybe there's going to be a ton of conversation. We got 2.5 more years. It's going to be interesting for sure.
Do you think that this still is kind of up in the air? I know that there's still those caveats about, like, you know, the timing around, you know, training camp. Do you think this is still up in the air, or is it pretty much like, hey, NFL players are going to be taking some of these spots?
No, I definitely think it's still up in the air. Because it's the IOC hasn't released when this will play. And the one of the big points that the owners agreed to was if this doesn't conflict with scheduling of the NFL. So if this doesn't conflict with training camp, if this doesn't conflict with mini camps, they're not going to let these guys walk away from training camp, getting ready for an 18-week season, to go play in the Olympics. If I think they said pretty much the flag would have to be played the first week of the Olympics, which I think is before opening ceremonies, if I'm not mistaken. It would have to be played then. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. So, you know, everybody might be getting all riled up for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it might be Cam Newton and Odell Beckham and, you know, Chad Johnson and Terrell Owens, just naming off people who aren't in the NFL. Randy Moss. That'd be so fun to watch Randy Moss play.
Yeah. I mean, I know it sounds crazy to say, because I don't – how old is he now? Tom Brady, 45 or – right? He retired at 43.
Yeah,
I know it sounds crazy to say, but don't you think if Tom Brady went to Pat and George and was like, I want the quarterback spot?
I don't think you say no. I mean, I don't know.
Like, how do you turn down Tom Brady for that spot?
That'd be tough, you know?
And then he could be like, yeah, you know, I've got a long snapper that, I mean, he could sit way back in the pocket and he's not worried about the rush.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he needs only a few seconds. And then if he's got some speed, because just like you said, if they recruit three receivers, if they have three receivers that played, you know, D1 as a wide receiver, him having those weapons around them, and then you put a long snapper at center that just goes out for a dummy route. is Austria going to stop that?
Give me Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and then Tyreek Hill in the slot. You're not stopping that. No matter who the center is. Center could take a knee.
That's what I'm saying. you get the best snapper possible, you know, that is going to make sure they get that ball, laces up to Tom Brady every single time, and he's just slinging it. I mean, and he's going to score on the first play of every drive.
I don't know about that. I don't know. He might need some the oil the shoulder and elbow.
He could go in for two plays and then let somebody else go in and run a wildcat or something. You know. But all right, man. Well, it's always a fun topic. You know, like we both said, we're gonna be talking about this 2.5 years. Hoosh, man, it's great to see you in the stripes. I know my daughter loves being able to, you know, chat with you and everything like that. You know, but yeah, man, your interview is going to be cut and spun and clipped over and over and over again for the next 2.5 years, for sure.
and I mean, like, and shout out to him too, because I mean, somebody has to be the one to champion for flag football and for those players. And he took it right on the chin. He's taking it on the chin. Pause.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's media is not kind, especially you know. I mean, people are taking what he's saying out of context. They don't understand this world that we live in and we enjoy. And they're being borderline brutal. And you know, shout out to him for hanging in there and staying in the ring and still swinging. You know. Not going down without a fight. I can respect that more than anything.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Do you think anything is going to look different as we get closer to the Olympics for the women's team?
Or Father Time?
Yeah. Yeah. Father Time.
I think that's the biggest thing is seeing you know who's on the team at that point.
Yeah.
You know.
And there's there's a lot of youth coming up in women's flag football. So. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the opportunities are going to be there for some new folks, and I'm pretty excited to see what the future looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool, man. Well, that being said, another great episode. What kind of merch we got going on right now?
We got some new stuff, dude. I got all the stuff still packed up, but shout out Coop, Unk for we got all sorts of stuff. With I think the most critical thing to me, yeah, I got the new shirt, you know, that with the logo on, that looks cool. But let's check out these ref stripes, man. Check this out. We got clocks running on the front. You got clocks running on the side. You got your personal identification number on the side, on the other sleeve. And then your identification number with the sweet Unk logo on the back from Unk Apparel.
Love it.
So – these fit the 2-inch standard. Any notable organization would recognize this as an appropriate uniform top to wear. You know, I'm sure there's some who will have their smart comments about it and whatever, bro. but yeah, check it out. We got that. We've got the sweet wristbands that do just happen to bring up the fact that we are America's top flag football podcast. You know, I think that's a pretty sweet thing. Next thing is we're going to be the top flag football podcast in the world. We got that. We got some dope stickers that go on, you know, your Stanley mug that your girlfriend gave you last week, or on whatever kind of water jug that is. You can put it on there.
Nalgene, bro. It's indestructible.
Okay. So we got that. We got shirts. We got joggers. We got backpacks. We got what else we got over there? We got shiesty masks. We got all sorts of stuff. You want it, we can do it. Shout out to Unk Apparel for getting that done for us. Best in the business. We really appreciate him. We've got, what else do we got?
Hoodies.
We got hoodies. Hey, and guess what? If you guys, next event Jordan's going to be as in Gatlinburg, one of your clocks running stuff autographed, you know, he'll be there.
Ooh.
He signs babies and kisses foreheads. You know, he does it all. He was on earlier. So we got that. But check us out. We're on Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube is the best place to see the podcast because you get to see our ugly mugs. Not just listen to it. You can check us out on MySpace. We are in your top 8, whether you like it or not. thanks, Tom. But we're everywhere. You know, we got our link tree. It's in the bio. You can find us. You can get merch. You can do all that stuff. So just check us out.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will next place we'll be live is East Coast Nationals. What is it? Fruitland still? Salisbury? Where are we?
Fruitland, Salisbury, Maryland. It's all in that area. Ocean City is the nearest major city. I'll put it that way.
Okay, cool.
So,
check it out. We are going to be in Maryland. Katura will be with us, so she'll be doing some sideline interviews. Hey, if you know, when she's got her official's uniform on, leave her alone. She's locked in. She don't want to talk to you guys, okay? But, you know, before the day starts, afterwards, you know, as long as her, as the kids say, as long as her eyebrows are eaten, then, you know, she, that's what you say. Your makeup's eaten. You ate it up. You left no crumbs, my guy. Okay. Yeah. See, you know what I'm talking about. So, She loves doing interviews. We love posting them on Instagram. We get lots of, you know, lots of attention and shout out to everyone that, you know, interviewed with her in San Antonio. We also had a guest appearance sideline interview in San Antonio. Just waiting for some of those clips, but that was fun. So, hey, if you wanna help out, we got the mics. We could get you set up and do some fun stuff. It's all about just bringing a different perspective of the flag football world. We know there's a ton of flag football podcasts out there, but we appreciate everyone that tunes in and follows us and views all of our exciting stuff that we do every day. Mm-hmm. So.
Hey, and last thing before we sign off, happy birthday to the OG Lance. He turned 72 today.
No, he didn't.
What? Hey, man, that's crazy. A lot of years. He gets up and down the field better than most 20-year-olds. So
72.
I mean, for 72, man, he is doing great. So shout out to my guy, man. Lance.
I can see Lance crunching his face and, nah, see, nah. All right, well, we will see y'all next week in Maryland. Be good.
All right, be good.